Hi, it's Jason.
And Christy.
And we're back this week with another deep dive, a little bit extra conversation around this week's sharing, which was called Temporary Tattoos.
I love this one. I really do. I find it such a juicy topic. And I think a great place to start is just to look at the subject of this writing, which is your friend Jawan. And you've shared stories of your relationship and so many memories. And what I thought was especially touching, though, that really struck me was just this realization that when someone passes, I had recently had a friend pass as well, all the flood of emotions and the vulnerability and the memories and all that comes up, and especially when you are in a place with a person where you feel like, you know, you're at a place that isn't quite maybe where you had hoped it had been, right?
Yeah, I wanted to be really honest about kind of where that relationship was, because I think there's this tendency when somebody dies to, one, we sanctify them, and then we tend to sanctify kind of our relationship with them. And I think for a lot of people, myself included, you included, sometimes people die and things are just kind of not, you know, they're not perfect, mm-hmm. you know? And I think what kind of my process that night of meditating, you know, with his song playing in my mind was this realization that actually it was perfect, you know, that things are always changing and that, you know, we don't control when someone comes in or exits our life, you mm-hmm. know? And so they might come in on a really ecstatic, beautiful moment, and they might exit on a moment where there's, you know, some tension, which happens in relationships. And I think for he and I, it was just, you know, that was how it was supposed to be. And I think the realization I had was like, that was just okay. You know, it was okay for us to have a vigorous friendship, and it was okay for us to have a vigorous debate when things weren't right, mm-hmm. and it was okay that he passed when he did, and that was meant to be the way that it was, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think that ability to zoom out, you know, so like in these moments we tend to like zoom in on maybe the things that we regret, or sometimes we zoom in on only the good memories and we forget the bad, and sometimes it's the opposite, right? And so what I'm hearing you say is the peace comes when you can zoom back out and look at the relationship as a whole and look at all the ups and the downs and the twists and the turns, and you just see the perfection of what it is, what your relationship is and was.
Yeah, it's that tool of using kind of the Google Earth, our own internal Google Earth, where we can look at life from a street view. And we tend to see like a lot of blemishes and a lot of flaws in ourselves and others, or in this case, in a relationship. But then we can also kind of Google out to that place, zoom out to that place where we're looking at the earth from above. And then all the problems kind of seem a little bit smaller. And I think in times where things are overwhelming, like death, we have that ability to use that as a tool to give ourselves a little bit of breathing room, a little bit of space.
That's one of my favorite all-time tools that we talk about, because for me, how it looks like is in any given moment when I'm feeling something other than joy, love, peace, ease, I know that I'm probably hyper-focusing. I'm pulled in too closely to a situation, a problem, a person. And if I can pull out a little bit and create more space around the situation or more space around the relationship, all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's some breathing room.
Yeah, I think that's kind of, you know, the topic of this week's writing is this idea that there's more perspectives going on than mm-hmm. kind of what we've locked ourselves into, you know, and we often tend to lock ourselves in or lock in on the most negative, dramatic view that contains kind of the harshest kind of view of ourselves, right? And so I think this Google Earth idea that you can actually zoom out and then say, hey, nothing's actually going on. Like, everything's okay in the big picture. Mm-hmm. And the ability to shuttle back and forth between those, I find that that's really balance. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, and it's not sticking our head in the sand, because there are multiple perspectives all the time of everything that's going on, mm-hmm. you know? And so in every situation of our lives, there's a hyper-focused version that has us focused on one tiny piece of the multitude of things that are going on. And I think having that ability to step back and see more, whether it's in an instance or in the case of this sharing in our lives, I think that's freedom. I mean, I think that's mm-hmm. that really gives us that freedom to be who we choose to be in each moment.
Well, except with the exception of, and this is why I love this topic about tattoos, is except for the fact that we're so quick to, I love what you said about using a permanent marker on the tag of your soul. It's like we're so quick to put ourselves in categories or want to be able to put each other into, whether you're a Christian or you're black or you're white or you're, you know, whatever, what kind of, whatever tattoo or label we want to put on each other so we can understand each other. I think that a lot of us get that. We understand the limitations that comes with that. But what I loved about this writing is you're also challenging how we do it to ourselves. Mm-hmm. The tattoos, the permanent tattoos we put on ourselves. And especially when we put them on at such a young age.
Yeah, put them on or have them put onto uh-huh. us. You know what I mean? It's like, it's the reason why I use the analogy of the permanent marker is because I remember, you know, going to camp or going to sleep over at a friend's house. And it was never my choice to write my name in my clothes. It was always my mom who would say, do that. And I think that's what happens to us, right? We are very quickly branded boy and girl. We're quickly branded blue room, pink room. We're quickly branded quick learner, slow learner. He mm-hmm. walks fast. He, you know, we're quickly learned he's a good boy. He sleeps through the night, right? And this continues over and over and over again. We're born into religion in our family. Mm-hmm. We're born into certain belief systems in our family. We're born in certainly to race. And then society might impose certain things on us. We're born into money or poverty. And so I think that's just kind of the way that the world works. We like to categorize things so that we can understand them.
And that's how our brain works. So that's why we're doing that, right? Is our brain needs to put things into compartments.
And I guess what I was challenging a little bit, though, is we are a little bit more than just this evolutionary machine that must mm-hmm. do that. Yes, our brain categorizes, but we also have evolved into compassionate beings. Mm-hmm. We've also have an intelligent brain that can make a decision if that categorization is appropriate for ourselves and for others. And I think one of the things that I guess I've been blessed with in my life is these chances to kind of start over and to begin again and again and to have different careers and different adventures and different experiences. And I think that's really freedom. Freedom is our ability to allow ourselves the gift of being who we choose to be in each moment. And then once I can do that for myself, the beautiful thing is I can be a great friend to you because I can give you that gift as well, you know?
And I think what I'm hearing you say too is that the skill or the tool that allows you to, let's say, have all kinds of different careers or different explorations is this willingness to look at perhaps the tattoos or the labels that we put on ourselves and to question them and see if they still fit, and if not, to peel them off and consider something new.
Yeah, I mean, that's a courageous undertaking, right?
Can you
kind of open that chest of your life and say, hey, that's not serving me anymore. That belief, you know, whether it's political or religious or even just a simple belief about who I am. I was talking to a friend today who, as he ages, is finding aches and pains in his body, and he's struggling because his body can't lift weights the way it used to anymore. Mm-hmm. And so simple, sometimes it's not these big life-changing things. It's just, can I take off the temporary tattoo that says I have to have a bicep of a certain size, uh-huh. or that I have to wear a certain kind of dress when I go out, or that I have to be a tough guy and scream at people on the road. You know, sometimes it's just really simple day-to-day decisions. And I think it does, though, require us to have the courage to look inside. And I think along with courage, to have the quiet, serene space, you know, which I think we find in meditation, to go in, to be able to have that skill set to look inside, and then to make these decisions instead of having kind of life etched in ink on our arm, right? They're temporary tattoos. And like I said, with a sponge and some lava soap, you know, I took off that.
I love lava. That's so great.
That little, you know, anchor tattoo that I had on my arm when I was a little boy. And I think we can wash off, you know, I'm a loser at love, or I'm, you know, or I always fail, or I'm a workaholic, or I'm an alcoholic. I think we can wash all of these things off if we give ourselves the permission and the space to begin again and again and again. And I think that's what meditation teaches us over and over again, is as we sit to meditate, get lost in our thoughts, and then we begin again, and we begin again, and we begin again. And we have to do that beginning again with compassion in order for it to be a loving exercise. And then we get up off the cushion, we go out into the world, and suddenly we have this skill that we can begin again and again and again. And I think that, again, I keep using the word, but I think that's freedom.
I think that's beautiful. I think for me it also takes, so it's the meditation in the space, and then you get clarity, let's say, on what new adventure or what new something you would like to experience. And then I also think it takes a healthy dose of courage to actually take action on that.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is that we are in environments with family and friends who already have their own ideas of who we are, right? So it's a process of getting clear and getting still inside us so that we know what it is that we'd like to experience. And then also having the courage to share that with the people around us so that they can start relating to us in that new way too.
I think that's right. And I think we're living in a time where we look around the news and we look around ourselves. We see a lot of people stuck in really old patterns, you know. We see a lot of people citing, you know, texts that are thousands of years old to justify behavior that's not compassionate in today's world, right? In this changing world around us where everything's changing. As I said, like, I have total permission to throw my iPhone away once Apple releases, you know, the new version 6 months later, right? Everyone goes, oh yeah, it's outdated technology, get rid of it. And yet we're stuck in some of these belief systems. You see these people, as I talked about the woman in Kentucky, right? You see this woman, not a bad person, right? Not you just see her, she's clinging to a belief system that's in the result of which is causing her such pain, and is causing other people such pain. And so I think there's this freedom for ourselves, and then there's also this compassion that says, I'm willing to let you show up as you. I'm willing to let the world show up as the world. And I don't have to be so quick to judge it. You know, it's like in one judgment, we send ourselves and everyone else to hell. And I think, you know, that just doesn't work in this world, right? It just doesn't work in a world where compassion right now is so needed and where love is so needed. And I think it requires that we ease up a bit on the rules on ourselves. And then, like you said, that I could just let you show up. You know, I mean, I two men weren't getting married 1,000 years ago, but they are today.
Right.
And so these two people come before you, and before we give them a chance to be human beings, we've branded them with some label, which then serves to dehumanize them so that I can then be non-compassionate. But if I allow human beings to show up and I see them with an open heart and I see them that they're children, just like me, that they want to be loved just like me, that they're scared just like me. And then from that place, I can connect. It's much harder to engage in any of this activity that's not compassionate. Yeah. It's just, it's very easy if I go, that person is a something, versus it's a human being. Mm. We're all human beings. And I think that's where rubbing this, these tattoos off and all of us questioning, you know, it's easy to say, I was also wanting to make the point in the writing that it was, it's easy to say that woman is bad, but that's another tattoo, right?
Right.
Versus what that woman gives us an invitation to do is to look inside and see the areas that we're clinging to our own old beliefs.
Mm.
And within all of these systems, all of our lives, we have those old beliefs that we're clinging to. We might have branded them good, but so has she.
Mm-hmm.
And we all are looking at it from the outside going, wow, that's, she's stuck. That's not good. So where are these places that we're stuck that people are looking at us going, wow, he's lacking compassion. And I think that's what all these situations give us, is these invitations, not just to look out there, but to look in the mirror and look inside ourselves.
That's really, you know, as we tie it all together for this week, that's one of the things I love most about this, is in a world right now where we're into save the whales, save the trees, save everything, it's so easy to jump to, okay, so let's give each other this freedom to be able to change and morph and transform into the greatest version of who we are. But what I love is that you're inviting us and really kind of almost demanding to say, before you can do that out and give that gift to other people, we have to give that to ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's painful, right? I think that's, mm-hmm. that's that idea of sitting in the chair, you know, having a laser take your tattoo off your arm. I don't know what that feels like. I imagine that hurts like hell. And I do know the pain of self-exploration. And I do know the pain of what it takes to look inside, and it takes to explore your own beliefs before you're quick to judge others. And I think, you know, with all these people and all these beliefs, and then all this technology that brings all these beliefs to us, I think that's really one of our main challenges right now is, you know, can we look inside and can we see where we're stuck before we point the finger?
Uh-huh, before, you know, we try to unstuck everybody else. Yeah, right? I love it.
It's so easy. As you say, save the world. And I think save the world is beautiful. There's a lot of saving of our own soul, of the pain that we have inside that's causing us to behave certain ways. And I, you know, our teachers have taught us over and over and over again, you look inside first,
mm-hmm.
and find yourself in the other. And then what comes out is you might not agree, but that disagreement comes with compassion.
And that's why I love your closing line. That's what life is all about, poking around inside and seeing what you find.
I think that's the fun.
That's the fun.
All right, until next week, big hugs.
Big hugs.